So, Father, we thank you for today, and I thank you, Lord, that we are here to hear from you, Father. Lord, I speak into this atmosphere that the only voice that gets to teach us and we get to learn to today is the voice of the Holy Spirit. No other spirit gets to say a word and be heard. Father, we put a gag order on every other spirit and the words from any place that does not originate from you. And Father, I thank you for your revelation knowledge. I thank you, Lord, that we can hear things we've never heard from you and see things we have never seen from you before. I speak life into this atmosphere. And I say that as the seed, the word of your seed, the seed of your word is planted into our heart, that it will absolutely bring forth fruit in due season, and that our harvest time will be quickened. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, today's lesson, we're going to be talking about, can your heart handle the issues of life? Can your heart handle the issues of life? That's a good question, isn't it? So I guess to start off, it would be nice if we knew what some of the issues of life might be. And this is where you come in. What are some of the things that we would consider our issues of life? Feel free to speak at any time. What are some issues of life? Okay, issues of life, loss of job. Death. Loss of job, death. Oh. Health issues. Marriage, kids, go ahead. Financial, mm-hmm. School. I mean, we got quite the list, don't we? That covers a lot of things. Health, yeah. Mm-hmm. Friendships, mm-hmm. Okay. And we see that the issues of life, they have to be dealt with. See, things become a problem when we don't address it. It becomes a major emergency. Like if you have a home and you notice there's a leak somewhere in the roof, and you only know that when it's raining. Think about it. On a bright, sunny day, do you ever know there's a leak in the roof? No. Like somebody's up there pouring water or something. But you find out there's a leak in the roof when there's rain, right? And then you find out just how bad depends on how heavy the rain. Well, when would be the best time to fix the thing? When you figure it out, right? You start planning. Like, hey, we got a leak in the roof. You don't wait till the next rain, till the snow and the ice come in, well, then you're really, and if you just leave that year after year, guess what? You're inevitably, the whole roof's going to collapse in. I mean, it just will. It's God didn't make it happen. The devil didn't make it happen. It's just, you didn't do anything about it. And it, okay? What happens is, sometimes when we are alerted to issues in our life, if we don't know how to handle it, we think the devil is doing something to us. Or why is God doing that? When in fact, it's a gift to know that something is wrong. It's better for you to know something is wrong so you can go ahead and fix it, right? Mm-hmm. Than for it to have been hidden. I remember this lady, her husband was diagnosed with cancer, with throat cancer. This was years ago when we first were here at the church. And he was in the fourth stage throat cancer, which they always, like, there's nothing they do. I mean, it's done. The fact that the man was even talking was like a miracle. So what had happened was he had preached, Pastor Doug had asked him to preach on a Wednesday night. And that was the first time he had preached in years, like lots of years. So Pastor Doug gave him the opportunity to preach on that Wednesday night. And the next day after he preached on the Wednesday night, he just got really sick. And his throat, and he could barely swallow and all this. And he goes to the doctor, and the doctor discovers that he had throat cancer at the fourth stage, fourth degree. So the wife was, you know, and her response was, you know, because he preached the devil is after him, I said, honey, let's turn this around. Cancer doesn't show up overnight. And here's the backstory. This man had been having throat issues for years. And every time he would go to the doctor, they would just say, it's just a sinus. They would never find anything. The day after he preached, God gave him mercy. And they found it right away. And then they treated it, and he's alive today. If he had kept going, the only indication she would have ever had was a dead husband after he had a biopsy. Do you understand? So sometimes when problems are revealed to us, it's not somebody doing something to us. It could very well be the mercies of God. It could very well be that God just removed a veil that was put in front of you that was hiding things from you. Okay? Pastor Doug always jokes. I mean, you guys have heard this before. I can't do anything. Pastor Fiona will find out, like, if I ever thought of doing something evil in our marriage, it would be found out before I even could do it. Well, because I believe that the Holy Spirit, I am open to the Holy Spirit alerting me to things that are happening that concerns my life, the things we're in charge of, my business, the church, my family, my sons, my children. And I am not going to freak out about it, so to speak. I ain't going to get all upset and mad, start blaming God, why is this happening? I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me solve it. You understand? But if you can't handle the issues of life, they might not be revealed to you. So your heart has to be set up in a way that you can handle the issues of life. And you become a problem solver, not a whiner. And like, oh my God, poor me, what am I going to do? All right? Okay, which you're not. Right? So let's look at our first scripture. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23. You know, we were talking a lot today before this started about your words of your mouth. I don't know how many of you have had the series I have. I do have it on my website, a series on the words of your mouth with a confession booklet and the whole deal. And it tells you how to use your words and how powerful they are and everything else. So you can look at that anytime you need to. Proverbs 4:23, okay? And here's what it says. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Amplified Version says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Okay? So we see in the Bible, and we know Proverbs is a book of, it's a book of wisdom. It's a book of instruction, right? And the instruction when it comes to your heart is to guard your heart. Okay? That's how the Amplified says it, is to guard your heart or keep it with all diligence. So what is diligence? I mean, just simple. What is diligence? Persevere. It's like attention. It's this is like where you're really fine-combing, fine-tuning everything. Diligence. You're like, it's like unraveling a necklace. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're like in there. Diligence. It's like the woman that was searching for the lost coin. She took the lamp. She took everything she had. Every light she had in the house, she took it and looked in every corner to find that coin. That's how important that coin was to her. Well, your heart is way more important than a lost coin. And some people, we forget about our heart. We just forget about our heart. But that's the thing we're supposed to guard with all diligence. Above everything else, we're supposed to guard our heart. Imagine that. It didn't even say guard your spirit with all diligence. It says guard your heart. Okay? Guard your heart. So with diligence, we need to set up a guard. Well, what's the guard? Do you know, like, the most prized things in the world, they have guards, right? They are guards that are trained to not move. They stay their entire shift and they have one focus, straight ahead, but I can guarantee you if you try anything sideways, they'll get you, because they can see everywhere. They're trained that way. Well, what do you have on your heart to guard it? You have to guard your heart. And so the people who are inside of the building that are being protected, if they had to be the guard plus function in the building, that's not going to work out too well, is it? Because, I mean, they're going to have to be watching out all day long. So you can't consciously be guarding your heart all day. You can't, that's an anxious life. That's like a completely anxious life. So you have to set a guard on your heart that has some defaults, that has some standards. You know, like when some bank accounts, you know, online, your bank accounts, if you try to put a password in more than 2 times, or even your phone, your email or whatever, if you try too many times to put a password in that's wrong, guess what? It's going to lock your account down, and you have to go through all this process. Lord, do I know, because I often forget some of these passwords when I don't go to the site for a while. But it locks you out. And it has safeguards in place. You have all these questions that you should know, which is funny because my mother's maiden name, oh my. I don't really know how to spell my mom's maiden name correctly because it's a long Indian name. So sometimes I use Doug's mother's maiden name, which is a lot easier, but I forget which one I used. So I'm in this like, Anyway, I have a password folder now that helps me out a lot. But but the thing about a guard is when you set these things up, they have a guard on your account, right? And when certain things get violated, there's an alert. There's a signal, okay? And there's a thing set up that says, wait a minute, you can't go any further until you verify who you are. That's what you want to do with your heart. You have to have, so here's how it's set, here's, I'm trying to explain this to you, okay. You don't want to put such a guard on your heart that you build cement walls. That's what people do. So nobody can get in, no matter if you got the password or not. God could have given the person the password, they're not getting in. Because you have put cinder, steel, everything that's hard, it's in front of your heart, and it is just there. What you want to do is if you set a guard with certain criteria, then you are protected and you don't have to ever worry about the wrong person getting in. So you could actually have relationship with people freely and never have to worry about being violated. Does that make sense? And so what are some guards we can set? Another word that I'm going to use to help us is some standards for your life. Okay? Standards for your life. Because let's face it, Adam and Eve were responsible for taking care of the animal and the trees and stuff in the garden. Okay? So what did Satan come in with to tempt them? To tempt them. It was using the same things in the place they lived. A tree and an animal. He set up the perfect temptation. If they had guarded their heart, the guard that would have stopped that from happening would have been the instruction that God gave them. You understand? That would have been ding, 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 ding. Invader alert. So the guard cannot be a person or a position or a call or an assignment. Do you understand? The guard for your heart can't be those things. It has to be a standard. And so the first standard should be what? The Word of God. Okay, so if somebody's coming to you, now the devil did come with the Word of God, But how did he present it? He questioned it, yes. Do you see? He questioned the word of God, didn't he? He said, did God really say? He questioned the word of God. Now, what did Satan do to Jesus too? Remember Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? And Satan, three times, he tried three times with Jesus. Well, he obviously didn't succeed any, but he certainly tried. That he said, you know, doesn't the Bible say this? Doesn't the Bible say that? If somebody is going to come, okay. Here's a scenario. If somebody is trying to get you to do something, and you said no, and then they start saying to you, well, doesn't the Bible say? Huh? Alert! Okay? Because that means now that they're taking the word of God to use it for their benefit, not for God's. You see the difference? So Satan was trying to take Jesus' father's words to try to interpret it to him. You see how crazy that is? But that's how a temptation will come. It'll always be, if you're a Christian and you're in a church, guess where it's what the format's going to be? Christian church. That's what it's going to be. The pickup line is going to be Christian church. It's not going to be anything else, because nothing else will appeal to you. Especially if your heart is longing for that Christian church person. Or those deep spiritual relationships. You know the devil can be spiritual too. He knows how the supernatural functions. He sure does. The Bible says he goes around like a spirit of light. Mm-hmm. What a fake. You just say the blood of Jesus. See how quick the light goes out. That's how you test that light. The light, the Satan's light can't handle the presence of God. Okay? So we have the word of God, and whenever it's questioned, that's your first barrier of infiltration. Okay? What is another standard? I'll tell you one. Love. You know, in Corinthians it tells us, you can speak in tongues. You can sing like an angel, honey. You can talk like the angel. You can have words and flow like nobody's business. But if you don't have love, you have nothing. So love. We're talking about God type of love. What does God type of love look like? This is a big thing too in the church. We misunderstand. We think God's type of love involves compromise. It does not. So God's love is not compromise. Understand? What it is mercy, okay, grace, and it gives hope. That's God's kind of love. However, you know, the Bible says that God is love, right? Okay, we know God sits in the highest place. And he sits, he's the only one that really qualifies to be sitting on the throne. And he sits on the throne. And his throne is established in what? There's two things that his throne is established in. Righteousness. And what else? And justice. So if there's love without righteousness and justice, guess what? It ain't God's love. Because God is love. God equal sign love. Okay? So when we are operating in God's love, we will have discernment. Okay? Remember the Bible says that we should know how to discern the spirits? We will have discernment for righteousness and justice. We will have it. It's one of the guards of your heart. You follow me so far? So what we're doing, we're talking about getting our hearts set up to handle the issues of life. Do you think God's up there having a heart attack right now with what's going on in the world? going, oh. Do you know how many things he sees that are happening that we never see on the news? Do you know how many things are happening on the earth at the same time that aren't all that pleasant? Yet he says he knows when a sparrow dies out there where nobody is. He knows all that. He knows what animal was just slaughtered for its skin or whatever. He knows what child is being abused. He knows all these all the time, every day. We get to hear about it in one moment and we are like, we can't handle it. But he knows all these things are happening all the time. And he handles it. And he sets up righteousness and he sets up judgment. Okay? So we've said you have to have diligence and put a guard on your heart. So we're setting our heart up. We're setting our heart up with a standard. It's going to be the Word of God. You, anybody that questions the Word of God to get to you, they automatically get shut down. You have to have the system in place. And in order to get back in, they have to go through a verification process. You understand this? That's where mercy, grace, and hope comes in. That you're extending. Understand? But you're going to discern the spirits. You're going to have discernment using righteousness and justice as the standard. Understood? So just because somebody says they're a Christian and they want to have a deep, entangled relationship with you, that's not enough for me, thank you very much. I need to see some fruit. What are you bringing to the party? It ain't going to be codependency, I'll tell you that much. I'm not carrying you through this. If you need discipleship, you need to submit to a church and go into their discipleship program. Let them do it. I need somebody that's already set. I'm not going to be your disciple if you want to have this personal, intimate relationship with me. You got that? Even if you're calling, and you have to know this for all them single girls out there, listen. If your calling is to disciple people, that's your calling. Your calling, you do that for everybody else. Don't try to disciple the person you're going to marry. It's a trap from hell. You're going to be babysitting for the rest of your life. Oh my gosh, you're going to be babysitting for the rest of your life. It's going to be horrible. You do not want to do that. They need to submit, and that's another test. Can they submit to authority? Okay? If they can't, it'll show up in righteousness and justice. They will be for justice. So that means if they know they made an error, they're happy to be corrected. If they have a problem with justice, you have a problem with them. Okay? If they have a problem with righteousness, if they're living in gray areas their whole life, you have a problem with them. Because listen, God calls every, you know, like whatever he calls us to do, he might have a certain standard for us. He might say, you remember with Samson, he couldn't cut his hair. You remember with John the Baptist, he had a certain diet and all this stuff. Okay, that's what his requirement was for his righteous side, okay, for the righteous side of love. But it wasn't everybody else. Like Jesus didn't have that stipulation put on him. He couldn't cut his hair and he couldn't, you understand what I'm saying? So you have to know whatever it is that you were asked by God to not do or to do, the person that comes into your life needs to be able to respect that and honor it with you. Got that? Now, what do you do if you're already married? Go home and tell your husband, no, I'm just kidding. No, no, no. Did everybody hear no? Okay, I hope the audio hear no. You don't do that because God can fix anything. Okay? Our programs on the computer, they get viruses all the time. That's why you got virus software, right? God can fix problems. The issue is you don't become a problem for the problem. This is what I mean. If God is working on somebody to change some things about themselves, and you are enabling their bad behavior by accommodating it, then you're kind of going against yourself. You understand? So if you have a spouse that you're praying that God would work on, you need to hear what God is telling you to do as your part and leave them to do their part. Does that make sense? You can't decide what you think your part is, because that's when you get in trouble. And that's when you can get trapped. And that's when you get hurt. That's when you're crying every day. Your heart is broken. You're in pain. You're hopeless. If you see these things start coming in, hopelessness, you feel like you have no mercy, there's no grace for you, that means that you're disobeying something God's trying to tell you to do when it comes to that relationship. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're disobeying it. It could just be by not knowing what to do. Okay? So you just got to stop, go to God, and ask Him to give you clear instructions of what to do so that you know how to assist Him in what He's doing. Does that make sense? But here's what I'm telling you. If you haven't gotten married yet, boy, you are like, this is gold for you. You better like take notes, because you know how to weed some people out. You understand what I'm saying? If you got daughters and stuff and granddaughters, you want to tell them this. Okay. Everybody clear on this one? That's just the first scripture. I got like 2 pages of scriptures. I don't think we're going to get there. But our heart is very, very important to be guarded. Like, for example, in Luke 2:19, and you could look that up, that whole chapter up later today, Luke chapter 2, okay? Verse 19, this is where Mary, the mother of Jesus, it says that she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And this is what they were talking about, Jesus, all the people that were coming to visit Jesus. And I mean, we're talking hosts and angels and all these people singing and all this. Mary pondered it in her heart. Look at what Mary pondered in her heart. She pondered the hope of what her son was about to do for the world. Do you see what she pondered? Here's what she didn't ponder. She did not worry. Wonder how all this is going to work? I don't know anything about being a God. How am I going to train God? How am I supposed to train the God, the Savior of the world? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? No. Mary pondered all the great stuff everybody was saying about her son. Like, she was like, ooh, this is going to be good, pondering. So next thing, ladies, what we don't want to keep in our heart is what? Fear and worry. Do you know those anchors that they anchor those huge ships with? I mean, we're talking the big stuff, you know, that have tons of rooms. They go on cruises and stuff. That's what your heart will be anchored with if you have fear and worry in there. It ain't, nothing's going anywhere. You're stuck. Fear and worry. Oh, my. Do you know what it says about the last days? In Acts, the last days, hold on, I got it. In the last days, it says that men's heart will fail them, right? Yeah. For fear. Isn't that something? Luke 21:26. Men's hearts failing them from fear. And the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. You know, there's a lot of people running around today with a heavy heart because of end time stuff. What a waste of time, honestly. If you're getting stuck in that pit, please climb out. Ask the Holy Spirit, could you please yank me out of here? Thank you very much. It is not designed to weigh us down. We're the Christians that are supposed to be winning lots. We're not supposed to be caught up in this end time nonsense. Half of it is predictions that they don't even know if it's true. It's all a bunch of theories and guess. Listen, the Lord has things in the Bible. Watch for these things. When you see these things happening, the end is near, but it is not here yet. And He said we're supposed to occupy till He comes. So not because we see a collapse of this economic system or this person is behaving badly, that, oh my gosh, God, come take us. Listen, there's so many people dying, going to hell. We should not be so excited about God coming, Jesus coming just yet. It would be nice for us, but what about all the people that haven't received? They're all going to go to hell. There's nowhere else for them to go. Or they're going to, it depends what you believe, post-trib, pre-trib, whatever. Something's going to happen to them. But either way, it ain't going to be pretty. Okay? So we have to think about these things when we're wanting to escape all the time. You know? That's really equivalent to the person wanting to commit suicide. They're trying to escape too. But they don't want to wait for Jesus. They're just going to do it themselves. But the thing is, when you have things in your heart that are made up of worry and fear, it will cause your heart to fail. Okay? That's from Luke, and that was 21:26. And let's talk about heart failure for a minute. In the natural, what happens if your heart fails? You die. Okay? Now, there is the resuscitation option, right? But you're being resuscitated because you died. When you die, what organs benefit from your death, from your heart's death? What organs are benefiting? Nothing. When the heart fails, nothing benefits. Zero, zippo, you have produced zero fruit. No life is going anywhere. Nothing's being circulated, nothing. What do you think happens in the spiritual? It's the same thing. When your heart fail in the spiritual, okay, nothing is happening either. Nothing is happening. And so you have people living a stagnant spiritual life and wondering, well, I don't know, this God stuff really works and whatever. I was praying, nothing happened. That's because your heart failed. You're in heart failure. So what are some of the signs of spiritual heart failure? Let's talk about that for a minute, because it would be nice to know, wouldn't it? Any ideas? Spiritual heart failure. How do we know when that's happened? Okay, making excuses. Making excuses. Have you ever been around the smell of death? It's got a specific odor, doesn't it? And it's like you could spray everything on the planet. I don't think Febreze would cover that up. I don't think they've made something for that yet. But it's got a smell to it that you can't really get rid of for a while. It kind of lingers, especially if it was a long, drawn-out process. Do you understand? When something dies, it never, ever is going to preserve itself or start growing again. Never, ever. It's done. The only thing left for something that's dead is decay. And with decay comes what? Odor. It comes all kinds of leaching, clingy types of bugs and insects. And it's all the stuff that would leave a living body alone. Do you understand? Because the living body would either swat it out or the living body would actively do something to not have it there. But when somebody is dead, it just hangs on them and it brings more friends with it. So, with all that beautiful description, what would be a possible sign of spiritual heart failure? Depression? Here's what I'll sum it up as. When somebody has something on their life that just keeps hanging on and it never gets better, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Okay? So we have that depression is in there. You know, there's some people when they walk into a room, people are like, oh, here they come again. Yeah. Because they just drain the life out of you. Their heart is in failure, and they're sucking life out of people to stay alive. So you have to decide how many people you want to hook up to you for life support. Because guess what's happening, honey? It ain't recharge. They're sucking life out of you with no intentions of getting stabilized on their own. They just want to be hooked up to a machine. You are the machine. And remember what I said, the enemy will always use your gift to trap you. So the only reason you started hooking them up to your machine anyway to begin with was to get them through a bad time. So compassion kicked in. But let me tell you a little story about compassion. Jesus, when he did any miracles, he was what? He was moved with compassion, wasn't he? The Bible says it often. And Jesus was moved with compassion, and he healed this person. He was moved. But here's what he didn't do. He didn't sit with them for 5 days to do what he did. When Jesus was moved with compassion, he brought the word of life to them, and they needed to what? Receive it. When they received the word of life, they were capable of going on their own. They were so well that they begged him to go follow him wherever he was going. That's how well they became right away. So if you find yourself nursing the same problem from the same people all the time, you got to unhook those cords. That life support system needs to get unplugged because they're bringing you down. And it's a trap. I was good at that when I dated. I think I just dated a guy like once or twice, and I figured there is no way on this planet I will ever want to spend the rest of my life with you. It's better for you to find yours, I'll find mine. Thank you, goodbye. Clean cut. You don't have to nurture, carry on. You just know that, no. You're great and all, but I don't want to wake up next to you every morning. You just won't be good looking enough for me. And the problems you're carrying around, you refuse help, so no. Now, if you already have that problem, like I said, God knows how to fix it. So you got to bring it to him to fix. You can't become the life support. See, when you don't become the life support for someone, a couple things will happen. Everybody got this picture about heart failure and all that? All right. When you decide not to be the life support, you're actually you're showing the person love, and I'll explain why. You're showing them God's love because you're putting them in the best capable hands. All right? When you decide not to be the life support, it also, if you have been life support for a while and you're not wanting to unplug, then what's developed is pride. Pride has developed in your heart. Do you know when the batteries in a vehicle or even the batteries in a piece of equipment, they tell you, like, if you're not going to use it for a while, it's better if you unplug the connections so it doesn't get corroded? Yeah. So if you've had your heart with the little things and you're hooked up to this person carrying them for all these years, there's some corrosion that has occurred because of this long hookup. And guess what that corrosion is spiritually? It's pride. That now it's painful for you to let them go because you put so much work into this. But what you're doing is you're not showing them love if you keep them hooked up. Because when we release somebody, we're putting them in the best care for their heart. Okay? And of course, the great physician that is. If they refuse, you know when they do transplants of organs and stuff on people? the person has to take a certain time in the hospital for them to see if the body rejects it or if it keeps it. And if it keeps it, then it'll do all the functions. But if it rejects it, I mean, really, that's your time. You're going to see if this person is going to receive the heart transplant stuff that God needs to do to change, to help their heart, okay, to help their life. And if you're finding that they're rejecting it over and over and over and over, then that's when you need to ask God, what's your part now? You don't just walk away and leave it hanging, okay? You must get instructions from the Father. And it might just be that there's one area you need to walk away from. Sometimes I think we cause trouble for our own relationships because we want our hand in everything. Honestly. These are human beings. We're all human beings. We're living a life. We're full of experience. We're not all ever going to be on the same level ever. Because we're just different. So you can't measure someone else's life by your level of things in your life. It's different. They might be way better at something else that you are the worst in. The whole point of relationships is for you to decide which one's better at what and get that person to do that part. You don't do everything. You're going to be exhausted. My gosh. You'll be completely exhausted. And you're not going to be very effective in your life. You're going to lose a lot of things. It's going to fall through the cracks. You just can't keep it all up. You see what I'm saying? So you've got to let go so that they have the best care. But then you're also watching. You're watching the righteousness and judgment. You're discerning. Remember, you're discerning righteousness and judgment. That's your love walk. Your love walk is not just to take everything that's thrown at you and just deal with it. Your love walk is to discern righteousness and justice. And you guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. So here's why this is all important. Everybody's with me so far? The reason you have to guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life, is whatever you allow people to dump in your heart, whoever you allow in the system of your heart, those are the problems you're going to have to deal with on a daily basis. Those problems will become your issues of life. Do you see what I'm saying? No matter how much you try, if you internalize other people's problems and you decide to babysit it, you are going to make it your issue. So let's say they have a problem with somebody and you never had a problem with that person. And they keep coming to you, giving you these problems, and you keep letting them do a deposit all the time in your heart about this specific person. I can guarantee you, and you tell me if it's not true, because I'm sure it's happened to you many times, and maybe in the past, but you're going to end up having an issue with that person. Don't you think? Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. So if you want to have issues in your life that produce life, not death, that actually solve problems for people, that actually produce life, like when you pray and when you speak, whoo, things happen, you're going to have to start making deposits in your heart of the Word of God. Okay? You're going to have to start making deposits in your heart of the dreams and visions that God gave you. See, what happens a lot is you get so burdened with everybody else's issues that you forget about asking God about your own life. You know what I'm saying? You stop and think about this and ask yourself this question. When was the last time that you had a conversation with God about your own dreams, purposes, and vision? Your personal. Not your husband, not your children, your own. When was the last time? And if you can't remember, it's been too long. You see? If you start having those conversations with God, the issues of your life are going to change. Because no matter how much we want to, we can never change a person. We can never change a person, no matter how much we want to. The most we can do to change a person the part we have on earth, is to pray that whatever God has for them written in heaven could come to pass on earth. That's our mercy prayer. Do you understand? And it is very important that we do that. When you recognize something in somebody that's off, that's not right, you don't. The love walk would do this. The love walk would show mercy through prayer. Does that make sense? But the love walk would not show mercy through getting beat up yourself. That's the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan showed mercy to somebody that was beaten up. He had no idea why, right? The guy could have been the one that was attacking somebody and they beat him up. He showed mercy, okay? But he didn't allow himself to get beat up, right? So we get this love walk thing mixed up. We get duped. And then we have other Christians tell us that we're wrong if we don't want to stand up there and get beat up. Jesus, you remember Jesus when they were going to throw him over a cliff? What did he do? He walked away. He didn't stand there and let them beat him up. Did Jesus ever stand there and wait to be stoned? Nope. And Jesus endured the cross. Here's why he said, because of the hope that was set before him. So if you're going to do any kind of action where it requires persecution, that you be persecuted, it better be because of the hope that's set before you and not because, you know, you're just loving people. That's not right. You're being duped. You're having life suck out of you unnecessarily. And then when that drains you, you're no longer functioning for what you're supposed to do. You see? So that means you can't handle the issues of life. The reason I title it this way is, can your heart handle the issues of life? If you decide to take on everybody else's issues, your heart's not going to be able to handle your issues. Because your issues are going to be things that you're not supposed to have. You see what I'm saying? So you're going to have a heavy heart, burdened for other people. It's one thing to have a heart for the loss and to have a heart for a certain group of people, okay? But it shouldn't be so heavy that you can't function, that it puts you in depression. We know that's not from God. Did Jesus like sit with depression any day and go, oh my, all these sick people, somebody get me out of here? No. I mean, he knew his only way out was the cross anyway. Do you know what I'm saying? But Jesus was moved with compassion. But his compassion moved him to action and it worked right away. If you're setting up for like a long haul, you know, like, okay, this is going to take a few years. My goodness, are you kidding me? You could recognize rebellion in the heart quickly because it'll come out of the mouth. We don't ever know the heart, but we sure know the fruit. That's what the Lord told us to judge. He said, judge the spirits, and the spirit, they produce fruit around you. And you judge that thing. You don't go around going, well, I don't judge anybody. That's great. That's a great thing for you to say, but I judge fruit like crazy. And you have to decide when somebody's operating out of lack of knowledge, when somebody's operating out of pure rebellion. You discern those things and you know the truth. You understand? Like I'm training up little Josiah. I know when he keeps doing something I tell him not to do. I know when it's out of lack of knowledge and he doesn't quite get the concept yet. I know when it's out of rebellion. When he stops there, looks at you and knows he's thinking about it, he knows exactly what you're talking about, but he decides to see. Let me see if I can get away with that. We have a different way of dealing with both those situations. You understand? But when you end up having one way and that's it, you know, that's when you start building up walls. Nobody's allowed in because this happened to me in the past. The reason that happened to you in the past is because you didn't have a proper guard up. You didn't have the right guard of your heart. That's why it happened. It wasn't because of people. It was because the guards were not diligent. You understand? People are supposed to be let into our life. That's what we're here for. God set it up that way when he created man. He had relationships with people. And after people betrayed him and disobeyed him, he still set up a way to have a relationship with them. Do you see? He didn't ditch people. when the flood occurred, he still preserved people to have a relationship with. So we're not to eliminate people from our lives, because that's another trap of the enemy, is to eliminate people altogether. That's like building your own coffin, your own grave, because next thing you know, you're going to be buried in it all alone. Nobody's going to be there. So you have to discern. If you set up the right guards, you're not going to be hurt. You're not going to be upset when it's time to let them go. That's our problem. We have a hard time letting people go. Sometimes you just got to let them go. And when they're ready, they'll come back. They'll realize what they missed. You understand? Or they'll be fixed. Whatever heart issue they had, you just weren't qualified to help. You got to be able to let it go. The last point I want to make, which I have the scriptures to back it up, but we won't have time to get into all that, and that is, there are two things that can never live in your heart together, and that is pride and love. You can't have those two at the same time in your heart. It's just not going to work. They're going to fight each other. Okay? And Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When you have pride in your heart, your spirit changes. Your spirit becomes haughty. When you have a haughty spirit, the Holy Spirit can't really get too much to you, because your spirit knows, you know, you got a haughty spirit. That means you know it all. You know, practically daily, I pray, weekly, if not daily, that the Holy Spirit would teach me something I don't know. I want to know what I don't know. I'm not praying, oh God, this is what I know, tell me how to use what I know. I want to know what I'm missing. What don't I know that I should know? And I often pray, Lord, in your book that you wrote about me, am I up to date? Psalm 139:16 talks about the book that he wrote about us. I ask, Lord, am I in sync with your book you wrote about me? Did I miss some days? Did I miss some chapters? Am I behind? Get me caught up. Quicken me, Holy Spirit, that I can be caught up. Because he's the greatest teacher there is. He's the greatest guide. And he can certainly get us through all the mazes to get us to where we need to be. I dare not try to do stuff on my own. I hate doing stuff on my own. It's almost like pointless. You'd almost probably call me lazy when it comes to that. Like, I refuse to lift a finger on my own. Honestly. When I know I have the Holy Spirit to help, I have angels at my disposal, and I have the mind of Christ that can kick in when I say I want the mind of Christ to kick in. You understand? Why would I want to lift a finger on my own? Really? I'm lazy that way. Let's put it that way. I'd rather not have to ponder through it myself and work all the details out. I want the Holy Spirit to tell me what to do. I am good with that. And you have to get to that point where you're okay. And you're okay with what he tells you to do. You can't say, oh, tell me what I'm missing. And he tells you, and you're like, well, I don't think so. Haughty spirit. But here's how it comes as a guise. It comes as, well, for sure it couldn't be me. You couldn't possibly mean me. I'm just not good enough to do that. Haughty spirit, not humble. Haughty. Pride. You kick it out of your heart. You understand? Easy. You kick it out by saying, get out of here. And you follow the instruction of the Holy Spirit. That gets you back pliable with what the Holy Spirit would want. All right? So that's our, and you know, Acts 13:22, you can look that up later, but it talks about David. David was a man after God's own heart. Did David mess up? Yeah. But you have to see what he did after he messed up. When it was given him the analogy, when he saw the story for what it really was, he made a change. He repented. He did everything God wants us to do when we let something in that shouldn't be in. Okay? It's when we try to be perfect and all that, that's when we have a haughty spirit. When you're trying all the time just to be perfect, and when somebody or something changes and messes it up, you're bent out of shape, haughty pride. You got to take it out, say, wait a minute. You should be able to be corrected on the spot. Like, I don't know. I mean, somebody said to me one day, well, you're just not self-conscious, are you? I said, I guess I'm not. You just have to develop the thing where somebody on the road could correct you and tell you, hey, did you know that you have like toilet paper down your leg coming out your pant leg? You go, I do? Thank you. Instead of running behind something, oh my God, I can't believe they just told me I have toilet paper. Like, you should be thankful when people correct you. You understand what I'm saying? You know what the best place to get trained in this? This is going to be, if you can handle this, you can handle anything. The best place to be trained in this is in your car driving. Yes, ma'am. You know all those drivers that want to tell you how to drive while you're driving? Let them. If they want to pass you and you're in the thing, you let them. And watch how you respond. If you have if you're like, I can't believe that is haughty pride, that now you know what you're dealing with. So now you know what to fix. You understand? Don't beat yourself up. Now you know what to fix. That, if you can handle that, you have got it. You have got it. No matter how they correct you, how many fingers they use or not use. All right, we're finished with this lesson.